It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast. It's
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm fantastic, my man. I'm having a great day.
Good to hear it. And Ryan, we are recording this. We are 1 week away from Christmas 2018. Let me ask you this. Favorite Christmas song?
So my wife and I had this conversation the other day. I am of the belief, and this might be a little bit of a hot take. We're going to start hot today.
I love it. Right out of the chute.
Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, other than standard traditional Christmas songs, might be the best Christmas song ever written.
Really? Wow.
Think about it. I mean, in terms of like listenability and commercial success, I don't think there is one that even comes close to that.
And a nice message, because people can be kind of greedy around Christmas and forget what it's all about. And it's really about being with the ones that you care about.
You're damn right. Yeah. You know, Mariah gets it. She's not a selfish person, right?
No, not at all. So not she definitely is the voice of a very positive message.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, will go with Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
Which is an excellent choice.
That's a great song.
It is an excellent choice.
I love that. It's at the top of the list every time. It's always like, just put on any Christmas mix. And it's like, I always start with that one. And then after that, you're like, whatever else happens.
It's all downhill from there after that, right?
I think so. All right, Ryan, well, we have a very exciting episode to get to. But first, let's begin with the news. First things first, we know that all these Marvel Netflix shows are getting the axe. There's only two remaining, and they probably each have one season left. And we get some news. This is happening sooner than I thought, but season two of The Punisher is going to be out in January.
I think they're probably rushing that out, right? I mean, they got to be like, let's just get this over with and get the bad news out all at once.
Like, we haven't seen much of it. Like, they did not even like a teaser. Like, they haven't really done much. I'm surprised.
No. It was one of the ones where you saw the skull and it was a bunch of voices talking, but you didn't see any actual footage, right?
What is the deal here? Yeah. So I don't know what to expect. I'm going to enjoy it, but I think we all know what's going to happen, and that is it's going to get canceled immediately afterwards.
But at least now they can go balls to the wall. Well, I guess it was already filmed when they made that announcement, but I was going to say they can kind of do whatever they want now, you know?
Oh, they definitely can. And how about more and more news coming out about Daredevil, and it just seems like everybody was blown away. Even people at Marvel were surprised that Netflix pulled the plug on it.
Yeah, I was reading that. Like, people who are in the show were, like, taken aback by the fact that this happened.
Yeah, I think was it Marcy, the really hot girl that goes out with Foggy
for no reason?
Makes no goddamn sense. Yeah, she was like, people high up were like stunned by it. So I still don't somebody's going to bring it back. Like, you know how like Brooklyn Nine-Nine got canceled and there was like everybody was up in arms, and then NBC grabbed it. So somebody should, I don't know who though.
You know who would be a great HBO? Fit for this would be like Showtime.
Yeah, right. Showtime.
Because HBO thinks their shit doesn't stink. And, you know, Showtime has they have some pretty good shows.
Showtime could work. And is American Gods on
Stars.
Cinemax?
Stars.
Oh, it's on Stars. Mm-hmm. Maybe Stars then.
Maybe Stars.
Yeah, I think we just solved it. We just solved it for you. Daredevil.
I'm just going to throw one at you right now. FX.
Yeah. FX got the movies, one of their ads once said. Yeah, that's not bad. Because if you think about it, it's violent, but they never swear. There's not like a lot of blood.
There's hinted nudity. There's some bum-bums, but that's about
it. There is some bum-bums. You're always waiting to see nipple, but you never see nipple.
You never do.
We got close a couple of times.
Did I tell you the story when I was getting my teeth cleaned, and there was this very cute dental hygienist was doing my teeth, and the dental office I go to has like a Roku, so you can like watch movies as you're getting your teeth cleaned.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I was watching Jessica Jones, and the scene with her and Luke Cage going at it came on.
Yeah, sure.
Very uncomfortable.
Now, were
very
you able
uncomfortable.
To... Now, not to be crass, but were you able to...
Jesus Christ, man. There's some things you don't talk about.
I think maybe the best Marvel Netflix love scene was Luke Cage Misty Knight from Luke Cage Season 1.
I just hate that name. I know it's like a very comic book name.
Hot under the collar. You don't like Misty?
I like Misty Knight. I don't like that name.
But Misty Slims, nice pack of smokes.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, this I think will excite you. The Hellboy trailer I think it's supposed to be out this week. And so maybe by the time people are listening to this podcast, we haven't seen it yet, but by the time you're listening to this, maybe it is already out. That, of course, is the one with David Harbour. And it comes out in April, 2 weeks before Endgame.
2 weeks before. Oh, great. So there we go. There's April and May all locked up for us, right?
Yep. Middle of April. Yeah, I guess, that was going to be my other question. Do you think this is going to warrant enough interest for a standalone episode?
You know, it's funny. I don't think the original Hellboys, that was a very niche audience too. So I think they're just trying to, I think it'll be fine. You know, the problem is it's coming out between Captain Marvel and Infinity War.
Yeah. Tough. That's tough. Tough stuff. Can't love it. Don't love it.
But we're going to see all three. And it's going to be a heck of a spring for us.
We're rolling out our nice spring. I cannot wait for our episode on 2019 movies, because there's a million of them that I want to see.
Oh, it's
a
so good, many.
It's a good list. Also, something I want to see will be on Netflix: The Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. Ryan,
oh boy,
this is the story, or I should say, the story will follow an epic journey by three Gelflings.
Gelfling. Sorry, I had to do that. What's her name? Chick with the eye? I had to do that voice. Sorry.
Nope, Gelfling. That's right. Ryan. I think it's Ryan, right? R-I-A-N.
Yeah, Ryan. It's Ryan. I think so.
Bria, B-R-E-A. And Deet. Yep. To light the fires of rebellion and save their world after they discover the secret behind the Skeksis power.
Go ahead. Nice. Nice.
Now, how about this list of – these are just some of the voice actors that are going to be in The Dark Crystal. Taron Egerton, he's going to play one of the main characters. Anya Taylor-Joy, you remember her from Split in the upcoming Glass.
Yep.
Helena Bonham Carter.
By the way, Anya Taylor-Joy, very wide set eyes.
Real, like a hammerhead shark.
Like you could put like a fist between both of her eyes.
I mean, I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to put that out there.
I mean, like, it's that width, like the width of like a fist between her.
I understand. Yeah. It sounded a little violent, but I understand.
I did not mean that violently, but no, I meant the width of a man's fist between both of her eyes.
Again, too descriptive.
She might need two sets of goggles in the pool.
I prefer we move on. Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's true. It's just like a beautiful hammerhead shark just floating around the bottom of the tank with her sonar. Yeah, it is. I'm trying to think. There's somebody else like that, too. Actually, no, she's not like this, but Natalie Dormer, who also is in the show.
Also is in this, yeah.
She has an interesting face. I think she's very beautiful, but
striking.
She's gorgeous. She is striking, is what she is. And I like the shaved head. I'm into it.
Oh, yeah.
Helena Bonham Carter, Natalie Dormer, Eddie Izzard, sure. Mark Hamill. Great voice actor, by the way. Keegan-Michael Key, Simon Pegg, and Andy Samberg.
Interesting cast.
It is. It is pretty interesting.
So speaking of Simon Pegg, too, and I texted you this right before we started this. Did you see that Nick Frost confirmed that Hot Fuzz 2 is getting made?
Let me ask you this, Ryan. Do we want a Hot Fuzz 2?
Yes. I would also prefer Shaun of the Dead 2.
Yeah. Shaun of the Dead 2.
You could call it Dawn of the Sean. Or Dawn of the Sean.
Shaun of the Dawn.
Dawn of the Sean.
Or Dawn of the Sean. I don't know. They're interchangeable.
They're interchangeable. Yeah.
They'd both be very good. I'd prefer that than Hot. I liked Hot Fuzz, but.
I really liked Hot Fuzz.
I liked Shaun of the Dead much better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What's the
other
one?
There's the other one that I did not see.
The World's End.
Yeah, how was that?
Not great.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Kind of depressing. Ryan,
Speaking of depressing, Penny Marshall, pick of the pod, passed away today, 75 years old for Penny Marshall from Laverne and Shirley fame and so much more.
Yeah, director of A League of Their Own.
Yeah, A League of Their Own, right.
Sneaky, one of the better sports movies, you know?
Yeah, it's very good.
Yep.
L.A. Clippers fan, I believe.
Was she now?
Yeah. There's not a lot of Clippers fans out there.
No,
so.
It's like Steve Ballmer and her, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And, Frankie Munoz. I don't know why. Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle fame?
Yeah, he's a big Clipper guy.
Big Clipper guy. I'm guessing he's a race car driver, too, now.
Is that so?
I think so. Well, he's a little fella. You know, they need, like, race car drivers aren't big dudes. He's a little fella.
No, they're not. They're pocket-sized dudes. And I've told the story several times before, but Jeff Gordon, that coward had an opportunity to just hold the door open for me just a little bit longer. I wasn't going to inconvenience him too much. He didn't. He let it shut.
Were you like, at that uncomfortable distance where you would have had to jog?
I was like, yeah, I probably could have taken a couple of quick steps, but I was like right there. And I think he definitely knew I was there, but he couldn't be bothered to leave it just to hold it open for like a second more.
That slick bastard.
He really was. And I'm like, you could stick him in your pocket if you wanted to.
You could, yeah.
Little Jeff Gordon. All right, that's it. I mean, it's kind of a light news week here, I think.
Which is just fine. We got a lot.
We do.
We got a lot to talk about.
A lot to dive into.
Yep.
But first, Ryan, let's get to the Video Game Minute.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
What do you have?
Well, I got this for you, Richard. We don't like to wish bad things upon Fortnite, but some bad things are happening to Fortnite right now.
Oh, boy.
People are very upset about these new weapons. They have planes and submarines now. Do you know this? You heard about this?
I've seen it thanks to the Twitter, and I'll try to keep up with our guy Shime Time every once in a while, but I've certainly not played Fortnite in a Fortnite. Probably several Fortnites.
Several Fortnites at this point. So they're coming under fire because Alfonso Ribeiro, Carlton, is suing them for using his signature Carlton dance as an emote.
Now, first of all, you don't own that.
Carlton. Doesn't he, though? They call it the Carlton dance.
He doesn't. He doesn't even own the rights probably to Carlton. His name's not Carlton.
It's
the character that he
plays. But there's intellectual property is a very slippery eel.
But that is not his, I don't believe. And I think, didn't I read somewhere that he even claims that he stole that?
It was inspired by Courtney Cox in the Dancing in the Dark Bruce Springsteen video.
Yes, and Eddie Murphy. You saw Eddie Murphy doing like a dance and like combine the two or something.
So not to be outdone.
Yeah.
The internet famous backpack kid, whose name I don't really know, but is suing them for the floss dance.
Oh, that kid invented the floss?
Yeah. So now we got everyone's coming out to sue Fortnite. So
Carlton owns the Carlton dance. Like, give me a break.
I don't know. There's no way. He's Carlton. Yeah. I don't know. But like I said, intellectual property is such like a weird thing.
Yeah.
You know,
but like Robert Downey Jr. can't sue people for like the name Iron Man. Like,
no, he can't.
Somebody else came up with that.
However, did you know that this is completely off topic, but an interesting little factoid. Gene Simmons trademarked the term OJ as it refers to orange juice. So now every time someone says the phrase OJ referring to orange juice, Gene Simmons gets paid.
That's outrageous.
Isn't it?
That is really outrageous. Now, there's also Michael Buffer. We can't even say his catchphrase.
We cannot.
He is like adamant about that. He sniffs it out. He probably has it on Google searches. He probably listens to podcasts just for it. But that's at least – that's dumb, I think, that he like owns that. But at least I kind of get it.
Because that's whereas, like his thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay, fine. But these characters in TV shows or movies, like, I think you're SOL when it comes. Like, now, Fortnite might own or might owe the Fresh Prince of Bel Air and like NBC or wherever it was. Like, they might owe them something. Right. But
so, anyway. How about Bruce Buffer, the shitty young of his catchphrase is awful.
Wait a minute. What's his catchphrase?
It's time.
Oh. I was going to say, because I'm like, I watched like 1,000 UFC fights. The one thing I like about Bruce Buffer is he gets very animated. If you watch just Bruce Buffer, he's jumping around like a goddamn madman. He's got his suit on. He's holding the cards, and he like runs almost in the face of the fighters. But everybody's always so fixated on the fighters.
Yeah.
But if they ever have like a wide shot, look at Bruce Buffer. He loses his goddamn mind.
I knew a Michael Buffer's face doesn't even move.
Anyway, we're getting
off topic here. So this happened back in November, and I want to get through this very quickly because I'm so excited about the thing we're going to talk about next.
Yeah.
Back in November, Adidas, for NHL 19, they came out with a Digital 6, which they came out for original jerseys for the original 6 NHL teams.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're actually really cool. You can unlock them in Ultimate Team. They're actually really cool designs. I meant to bring that up a while ago. Didn't. Go check those out.
All right. I like that.
Next week, the third installment of the City Never Sleeps Spider-Man DLC is coming out with three new suits. And one of them's cool. Two of them are just bonkers.
So
you have the Into the Spider-Verse Peter Parker suit, which looks cool.
Right.
It's got kind of weird dimension. He kind of looks a little bit more cartoony. And then you have the cyborg suit, which is a very obscure, like, 90s, early to mid-90s suit that, like, Peter Parker got, like, he has a Cable's arm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. When he was, like, he was, like, X-Force or whatever, and, like, he got all hacked up, and so Cable stuck an arm on him.
Yeah.
So you have that one. He's got, like, this weird eye patch, too, that has, like, a robot eye. And then,
right.
Speaking of Into the Spider, they have the Aaron Aikman suit from the Edge of the Spider-Verse, which was a another run of comics they did from, I think I just said Edge of the Spider-Verse, which is a, a weird, but it's a different, it's not Peter Parker, it's Aaron Aikman is the guy's name.
Right.
And it's this whole other story. So those are the three suits that are coming out. And that's the last installment of The City Never Sleeps. But it is rumored that they're going to do a standalone DLCs for Miles Morales and even maybe Mary Jane.
How about that? There you go.
So you can do
I mean, you get to use both of them before, so it makes sense that they would kind of explore that.
And the last two things of news I have is there is a Far Cry 5 DLC coming out called New Dawn, which is set 15 years after the events of Far Cry 5, which is a decent game, and I won't spoil anything. It just I'll just say it happens after that. And this holiday season, Richard, if you plan on getting an NES Classic or an SNES Classic, do so now because they will be discontinued after the holidays.
Oh, is that right?
That is right. Okay. So please get... Yeah, so that's a... See? Informative. I'm trying to be more informative. I'm trying to be more upbeat.
Fairly informative.
Fairly informative. Yeah. And as always, check out anybody who is associated with me for all your video game needs, that being Gamer Blends Coffee, Mammoth Gamer, So Sick Clothing, and Illusion Grips, if they actually still exist. They have I have not heard from them in some time.
Yeah, I would... Wouldn't worry about them.
No. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks anyway.
Yeah.
Ryan, are you ready? And I feel like you might be for the topic du jour.
Oh, hell yeah. Usually I say I don't know what that is. I know for damn sure.
You know exactly what it is. Yeah. And and today, folks, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, a film that just came out, number one at the box office, just a hair under 2 hours, clocking in about an hour and 56 minutes. Last check on Rotten Tomatoes, 97% critics, 95% audience score. We begin as we do with all of our movie and TV reviews, spoiler free. So I ask you, Ryan, did you like it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to do you one better. I loved it. I loved this goddamn movie.
Everything about it.
Everything. Everything, everything, everything. Story? What do you think of the story?
I thought the story was going to be the... If I had one hang-up going in, it was going to be the story was not very accessible, but they did it so well.
They did. Like,
and I got it right away.
Yeah, because when you saw the commercials, you saw what you were in store for, even just the title of the film. You're like, all right, how are they going to do this where it's not so complicated?
Yeah.
Because there's a chance you could just get lost in it.
And a lot of that is due to, like, the visually how they did that was incredible. So, like, just how it was presented. And like I said, that was the one thing I was kind of hung up on. I was like, well, how are they going to explain this? Because they did. I thought they were going to bring in, like, Madam Web, like they did in the comics, and, like, have all these, like, different things. And they didn't. They just kind of be like, well, no, it's kind of this. And it's all this, like, we'll get into this in spoilers. There's a lot of science.
Yeah.
And I think Mac and Goose said it. If it were a live action movie, I would have cared about the science part of it. But in this one, I didn't. I didn't care. I was like, okay, fine. There's like this suspension of disbelief with cartoons that you're just like, fine.
Yeah, that helps. That definitely helps. And they did a good job because they explained enough of it, but then they just kind of like the pace was really good. The animation was really good. It was cool. It was different.
It looked like a comic book. It was like a living comic book.
Yeah, and I love some of the stuff that they did that was like really comic booky, and then going back and forth to the thing. And I thought it looked really good. I just saw it in standard. Do you see 3D or standard?
I do not. I can't watch 3D anymore. I can't.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not for me. But I know. I mean, maybe some people, I'm sure, saw it in that. You can let us know again at Dork Podcast on Twitter or dorkpodcast@gmail.com. What did you guys thought of this movie? If you saw it in 3D, if it's worth seeing it in 3D, the action, like some of the fight scenes and the action scenes. Again, it's animated, so you got to grade it a little bit differently, but pretty sweet.
Good stuff.
The voice actors, which we'll get into the character breakdown coming up, but the voice actors, I thought were all nailed it. Like usually in some of these, there's always like one character. You're always like, I don't know if that was really the best, but I enjoyed everybody that was in it.
You did. And there was one character in particular who I thought I was going to hate and I didn't.
Yeah. I have a pretty good idea who that is.
Mm-hmm.
The comedy. What'd you think of the comedy? Laughs?
More surprisingly, like, I laughed out loud several times.
Yeah. That was good. I mean, it was, yeah, it was. It was funny. I mean, it's PG. You know, it's a PG movie. But when I was in there, a lot of adults, and not just adults with kids, like plenty of that too, but like plenty of just adult people like me going in there and watching it. And maybe the what stole the show, actually, I shouldn't say it stole the show, but it certainly added a level to it. That would be the music. The soundtrack was awesome.
Unbelievable. And like, this is something, I just saw Aquaman, and I'm not going to give anything away.
Ooh, I have not seen that yet.
I'm not going to give anything away there.
Okay.
But one of the things that Marvel puts stock into that DC doesn't, and you can listen to the song now. If you heard that awful fucking Pitbull song from Aquaman,
I have heard Pitbull songs, so I will assume it's awful.
So he covers Africa. It's basically called Ocean to Ocean, but they do the hook from Africa, the song Africa by Toto.
Ugh, I don't like that.
It's awful. Yeah. It's awful. And in the movie, it's an incredible distraction, right? Where like, yeah. I feel like the music in this was like it breathed like in the movie, like it was part of the movie.
No, you know? it was perfect. It was really, really good.
It
really helped certain scenes out a lot.
Yeah. And,
I'm
thinking like Marvel, like, oh, we're going to get Kendrick Lamar, probably one of the best rappers alive right now he was supposed to do a song for Black Panther, did a whole album.
Yeah.
And then they bring in like, you know, all these guys to do this, all these guys and girls, I should say, to do the music for this movie. And it was awesome. And it was seamless.
Yeah, you think of, and so this is Sony too, but still, if you're just talking about Marvel characters between Into the Spider-Verse, both Guardians of the Galaxies, Black Panther, Thor Ragnarok, like the soundtrack is so important and so good. Like they crush it every time.
Every time.
Now, how would you compare this to other standalone Spider-Man movies, of which we have already seen six? So this is the seventh one, I believe.
I'm going to give the slight edge to Homecoming, because I believe now that Tom Holland was born to play Peter Parker.
Yeah, he's perfect casting. He really is.
And I believe that Homecoming matters more to me as it matters to this golden age of like Marvel's cinematic universe, right? Mm-hmm. So that's going to give it a slight edge. But this is definitely a 1A. And it, as a movie, because I like Homecoming as it pertains to everything else, right? But now, as a movie, yeah, like, what's the best Spider-Man movie? This might be it.
But you also, you love Spider-Man 2, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 2, more than anybody else that I know.
I do. And I think that doesn't age well.
Yeah, that whole trilogy does it. I mean, we all know the third one sucks, but the first two are great movies. But when you stack it up to Homecoming, you're right, it kind of loses it a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, then obviously it's better than both of the Garfield ones. Yep. Although the first Garfield one, I think, gets kind of lumped in. Like, the second one is really bad. Like, the second Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3 are two of the worst comic book movies I think like ever made, like, especially of a character like this.
I think Amazing, this is again, as a Spider-Man fan, you know, I think Amazing 2 is better than Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Jamie Foxx is just so outrageous, but so are all the villains in Spider-Man 3.
And like,
they suck.
Yeah, it's awful. Topher Grace as Eddie Brock is probably one of the worst casting decisions I've ever heard
Terrible.
Of.
Terrible. So I might be with you on that. But so I would probably go, I think you're right, I would probably go Homecoming just barely over this, which is ahead of 2, which is ahead of 1, which is ahead of Amazing 1, and then, Amazing 2, and then
Amazing
3.
Two, then
yeah,
three.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fine.
That's how I would rank it.
Now, the other thing, while I was watching this movie, I kept making comparisons to Lego Batman, just because, I mean, they're obvious, because, you know, it's animated. They also do a lot of different things where they're like, is this the character from the movies I've seen? Like, yeah, kind of. Like, they're talking about stuff that we've already seen before, and they're able to, like, blend universes together and, like, have a lot of fun with it. But that movie wasn't nearly as good as this one. And one thing with the Lego movie, and maybe it's because I'm an adult, I don't know, although I have the mindset of a kid, it was just, like, too many flashy colors, like, nonstop. You know what I mean? It was just like, now we're going to throw this at you. And it's just like chaos on the screen.
And there was,
whereas this was much more of like a movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a much more complete package. And again, like, the colors and stuff in this movie were, it was a visual treat.
It was.
As well as a great story. And the only thing, like, in terms of like the, as talking, bring up the Lego movie, there was a lot of wackiness in that movie.
Yeah.
This was fun, it was, without being like zany. You know what I mean?
No, right. Like that one was like, you know, talking to the camera and just, you know, that kind of stuff. But I like the idea that you can really explore all different villains. You can explore a lot of the universe, and it's easier to do it rather than, because again, like if you had as many villains, even from this movie, and you put them into another one, it would be Spider-Man 3. Like it just becomes too much. But this one, you were able to do it. If you were, what did you think of the sweet Spidey action?
Oh, there was some sweet, sweet Spidey action.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought
all the way around. And different. Strong. What I liked about it is there's different styles of Spider-Man.
Whoever, and you see that. You see that in the trailer. Like you see the different Spider-Mans.
Watching them fight, watching them interact with people, watching them like, you know.
They all have different. They all have different skills. Yeah, that was pretty sweet. What about comparing it to other comic book movies? Like even from this year, like I'm thinking about. We've seen Black Panther, we've seen Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Venom, I'm definitely missing one. Oh, Deadpool 2. So we've seen a decent amount, at least a half a dozen comic book movies.
I mean nothing's going to touch Infinity War.
No.
In terms of just sheer enjoyment and sheer like satisfaction out of that movie. However, it's in that tier. So it's like Infinity War, Black Panther, Spider-Verse are all together.
Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down?
I'm ready.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is the second best movie of 2018. How do you like that? How do you like that?
Now,
and full disclosure, I have not seen every movie. I'm not Gene Siskel brought back to Earth. I am just a modest guy. Who has seen, I gotta do the final tally. I gotta be up to close to 2025, 2018 movies.
Yeah. And you would say that this is the second best movie you've seen this year. Yeah. I can get down with that.
Infinity War 1. And my list is dominated by comic book movies, but so be it. That's what it is. Those are the movies that I thought were actually the best this year. I've seen, some comedy, some horror. I've seen a couple of like the Academy-ish ones. Not all of them, but a couple of those. Like I like the movie Annihilation a lot. Yeah. Did you see that one with Natalie Portman?
I didn't see that one. No.
That's one of the higher non-comic book movies. And then you can check our archives. We've done. I think this is our 11th movie review of the year. Aquaman will be our 12th, I believe, if I added it up right. And so, yeah, Black Panther was probably holding on to the number two spot for a while. That or Deadpool 2 or Ant-Man and the Wasp. And then this knocked it off, I think. And it could be, I mean, maybe next year at this time I'll have it lower. You know, it could be recency bias, but I liked it that much. It was good.
No, it's fantastic. And I mean, I've seen two movies I would put ahead of that are Won't You Be My Neighbor, the documentary about Mr. Rogers.
Oh yeah, I have not seen that. So that
good. And You Were Never Really Here with Joaquin Phoenix is a movie that I really enjoyed. It's very dark.
I did see that one.
You did see that?
I did see it. I have it lower on my list.
Very dark.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Like I said, it's like The Professional, but like way more violent.
Yeah, I like. Yeah, The Professional is great. So there is an end credit scene. So if you're curious, there is an end credit scene. I think it's certainly worth sticking around for. You're already there. Just, you know, get on your phone, check your email, then it'll be up there before you know it. I think I have an idea, but what would your hashtag dork score be for the film? Yeah, I think it's either a 6 for me. It probably is a 6. I first thought 5.5, but then I've only given out one other 6 all year.
Is it Infinity War?
Yeah, it was Infinity War. Yeah. Infinity War was a 6. I don't think I gave Black Panther a 6.
I think I gave Infinity War a 5.5.
Oof. Would you like to change that right now?
You know what? I'm going to start doing, Richard. You know what my New Year's resolution is?
What's that going to be?
I'm just going to enjoy myself a little bit more. You know, I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm not going to go in.
Good.
I've been going into movies like it's a job. Like I'm watching it with like this very critical eye.
Well, I don't mind. Every once in a while, a critical eye can be very important. I mean, we don't want to just say every movie's good because that's not true either.
And I think what did it was the Infinity War had so much. I was so looking forward to that I couldn't be anything but disappointed.
And then it was spoiled for you by someone.
No, it wasn't that. It was more like that. This one, I didn't know what to expect, so everything was a surprise.
Yeah, it was almost like everybody. It's kind of like this is. this is, and I know this wouldn't have surprised you because you read the book, but like for me anyway, like I was hoping that Ready Player One was going to be like this.
Oh yeah, it should have.
But Ready Player One was not like this.
No.
And in fact, that could win the Dorky for biggest disappointment.
It could. It could. For
it's
me,
in the, it's already there. Nominated.
Yeah.
It's nominated.
And this one, like I said, it was not something I had really high expectations for. I was like, you know what? It's probably going to be a decent little Spider-Man movie, but I did not ever expect it to be this good. So everything I saw in this movie was a surprise and just an absolute delight. Everything.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome stuff. So yeah, I'll probably give it a 6, but again, not all sixes are rated the same. So by no means do I think it's better than Infinity War. And then I think it's a clear cut. Like, should you see it in the theater? I would say yes.
Yes. Yes, do it. And see it. And I would say to people who are parents who listen to the show, for me, like someone asked me the other, Sharky was asking me, he's like, can I take my 3-year-old son to it? There are a handful, I would say like 3 or 4, like violent deaths in this movie, which kind of makes it not a kid movie.
Yeah, I think, man,
and like
that's
two,
a good question.
Like 2 or 3 murders.
Oh boy. Yeah,
so
that's hard
like,
to explain.
Well, I mean,
there's also a talking pig, so that has
that
to
helps.
Help a little bit.
That helps.
Yeah.
Voiced by John Mulaney, which is...
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I also thought, like, if you were going to take a kid, show up, like, 20 minutes after the movie says it, because at least I had, like, a half hour worth of previews, and then a 2-hour movie. So, like, I thought the movie probably could have been 10 minutes shorter, but part of that was probably just... All right, I've been sitting here for a long ass time.
I really have to pee.
And I have to get going. yeah, all right, anything else spoiler related?
Non-spoiler?
Or non-spoiler?
No.
Yeah, nope. Non-spoiler? All right.
See it. Let's get Absolutely
to,
let's see it.
See it. It's a see it. Let's go to spoilers.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
All right, Ryan, first thing right out of the chute, before I even forget, the Stan Lee cameo was a particularly good one, and obviously with the timing of everything, it was just really well done.
It was very meaningful. Very meaningful.
Yeah.
And I know it came off as a joke, but when he said the line, when he was talking about the, you know, what if it doesn't fit? And he said, it always fits eventually.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I know that. I knew that was meant as a joke. Meaning, because he points to, like, the no return sign.
Because he's talking about, he just bought a Spider-Man suit. Miles Morales just bought a Spider-Man suit.
But the idea is that, like, whoever is Spider-Man eventually becomes their own version of that. You know, it's not... And being a hero doesn't mean fitting into like a certain mold. Like, you eventually become who you're supposed to be. Which I thought...
Yeah, it's like him saying from beyond the grave, like, it's going to work out. Like, to anybody. Like, to you, to whoever's... I was like, oh, man. Like, that was pretty good. That was good.
It was
heavy stuff.
It was probably my favorite of his cameos. Obviously, because of the timing of it, played a huge, huge part into it. But it was just like, you know, you did like the deep, like, after that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we talked before. We did the standalone episode on the Spider-Man PS4 game. And there was a Stan Lee cameo in that. And they're very similar where it's an animated version of him, but it looks spot on. Like, it couldn't have been drawn or created any better than what it was. So that was good. Now let's go best and worst parts. Obviously not a lot of worst parts, but some of the best parts in addition to the Stan Lee cameo, what jumped out to you?
The best parts, just the way, the ease in which they introduced the Spider-Verse was incredible. Like how they did it, how they were like, they did the same origin story, like back to back to back to back. And they did like 3 of them at once.
Oh, that was so cool.
It just like got you up to speed very quickly. I thought that was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
I love the character of Peter B. Parker.
Baker. He was great.
And I will get into that in a little bit more when we do his kind of character breakdown. But, like, I love that character so much.
He was awesome. And, like, one of the things with him is, and we can even do some of it now, he's sort of, like, you know, out on or down on his luck, kind of, like, past his prime Spider-Man. But at the same time, he knows what he's doing. And, like, even though he's, like, fat Spider-Man, he's... still Spider-Man and like can still get it done. He's not a pushover at all. And he can still teach Miles Morales like what it takes.
Yeah. And I thought that the, there's a whole, like the English teacher in me comes out when we we did do the two Peter Parkers. We'll get into those, and well, I'll do more of that later. But the character of Miles Morales is very fleshed out. I thought they did an incredible job with that, and Shameik Moore did a wonderful job voicing that character. And I would say giving that character a voice. Because remember when Miles Morales, was it Brian Michael Bendis introduced this character, there was a lot of heat and like, oh, you're just doing this to get diversity. You don't like, that's not the character. Like people were really pissed off about it. Yeah. And to see Miles be his own character and so different from the other spider people was really cool. You know, you have like these ideas of like Gwen Stacy or Peter Parker, like these science nerds who just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you have this kid who's an artist. He's not a scientist. Like he needs help, you know? So that I thought that was a really, really well done job by the writers.
It was cool. Yeah. And then some of the scenes with him, you know, spray painting the shit out of stuff was awesome. Like that was cool looking. They also, so Brian Michael Bendis, who created Miles Morales and in fact has written every single issue that has Miles Morales as Spider-Man, I think until recently. I want to say last week
there was might his be a last new, issue. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's going to be a new writer on that, but that's been a long time. It's been him. And one of the little Easter eggs is Brian Bendis is in one of the phones. I think is it Miles's phone or is it his dad's phone? Either way.
It's in Miles's phone and in
Steve Ditko, right?
Steve Ditko's in the other phone. Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. I'm sure there's more, but those two jumped out like as I was watching it. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. I loved, and I think it helped. I think if anybody played the video game, I think you're probably going to like the movie even more because there was a really good kind of overlap. Like when they go down into the bunker, like at Aunt May's, which by the way, they did a good job with her too, but they go down and you just see all of the different Spidey suits.
Yeah.
And they're all from the video game, including the one that was like debuted just in the video game.
Yep. The advanced suit was in there.
Ah, like that is badass. That was really well done. I also loved the way they sort of got into the Prowler in the whole thing with his Uncle Aaron.
Yeah. And it made you think back to Homecoming when you're like, oh shit, like Donald Glover is Aaron Davis. Like that's like, that never dawned on a lot of people before. Like, oh shit. Like when he says like, oh, my nephew. And you're like, but his last name isn't Morales. Like, how does that make any sense?
But yeah, like,
you know,
right. So we knew exactly. Yeah. So we knew. And so, you know, the reveal in this movie is probably more significant to those who didn't know than to comic book dorks like us who see Aaron Davis. And you also see the Prowler running around with Kingpin and you're like, you're just waiting for that to happen. But it was, even knowing that it was him, it was still really well done. And like when Miles realizes that that's his uncle and the whole thing and like how his uncle and his dad don't really get along anymore and the whole thing. And then I'm really, the first thing I thought of was Homecoming, or I guess Far From Home, which we still haven't gotten a trailer for, by the way.
No, we haven't.
I don't know when we're going to get that, but if they have a real opportunity, like they put Prowler and essentially Miles Morales in the universe. So it's only a matter of time until we get them, which is awesome.
Yeah. And they have, again, Matt Gorgon, who's the, you know, the Scorpion.
Yes. Yeah. And so Scorpion, who was also in this one. So they have him in that universe as well. So that was, they did a good job with the villains. So they give you Green Goblin, but he's not like the main guy. Then you also get Kingpin, you get Prowler, you get Doc Ock, but it's Doc Ock's wife instead, which is a nice twist on it. And then you even get Scorpion and Tombstone. So I thought the villain choices to me, you know, you can always kind of want Kraven the Hunter, but like, maybe save him for something else. Like maybe put him down the road. So the ones that they chose, I personally thought were the right ones.
And it was just enough. It was just enough. It wasn't too much, you know?
Yeah, I thought so. Obviously when the whole crew got together, it was great. When you got all the Spider-Mans with Spider-Gwen and Spider-Ham and Spider-Noir, when you finally got them together, cause I was with you. I was like, all right, I'm curious how this is going to work. Is it going to be like two slappy? Oh, and Penny Parker. Don't forget Penny.
Yeah.
So when you put them all together, like John Mulaney, like they used him just right. Like it wasn't over the top. Like, all right, here he is for gags, but like he had enough of them. We're like, enough. All right, good. I'm glad he's in the movie.
And I was afraid that they were going to lean a little too heavily on the rest of them. And ultimately what it boiled down to was the relationship between Peter and Miles. And like being like, you know, and Peter kind of showing Miles the ropes. And then you had the rest of them actually Gwen Stacy played a huge role, but you had like Spider-Ham, Noir, and Spider, whatever that, like, the robot, the diva of the crew.
Yeah, but I was going to say basically diva.
They were kind
Overwatch.
Of, they were kind of in the background. Like they were there, yeah. but they weren't like you said, they used them perfectly. Like it was just enough. Yeah. Like Mulaney didn't come in and like yuck it up. Like obviously he had a couple good jokes and he had the hammer and everything. And
yeah.
But it wasn't too much. It was just,
but it's funny cause they're the Spider-Mans in each one of their, you know, universes. And so when they come together, no matter what they look like, they're all good and they're all capable. Like they're all like, you know, like, oh, this guy's the weak, like you couldn't tell me which one's the worst one. Like there isn't really a worst one. I mean, at first it's Miles because he's trying to figure everything out, but like they all have their own strengths. I also, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but I didn't read the article, but Screen Rant had a tweet and it said, Peter B. Parker from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is the real Spider-Man.
Yes. I absolutely buy into that. Absolutely.
No, but the person, so my whole point, and I think you'll get what I'm saying. So then somebody retweeted it and they come and they're like, yeah, when you don't understand the whole point of the movie, like I think he's probably the original Spider-Man.
What, when they
but
say
to say
the
he's
real,
the real Spider-Man, yeah. like the whole idea is any, like all these people are Spider-Man.
What
like,
they
anybody
mean
can be Spider-Man.
Is that Peter B. Parker is the 61 Earth 616 Peter Parker. He's the Peter Parker we know.
Yeah, I just thought, the point of the movie is like you can be a kid from Brooklyn, you can be Spider-Man, like you can be a girl from Japan, you can be a fucking pig, and then they're like, nope, it's just him still, and you're like, no, there's a million Spider-Men.
And what I'm buying into is the idea that like he's our Earth's Peter Parker. So like if you watch when they're swinging, remember like all the billboards were changing to like different universes.
Yeah,
his is the only one that says like Coca-Cola.
Yeah, he. So was he the one, he basically like showed the Tobey Maguire stuff, like when he's stopping the train and he's doing some of that stuff when he's in like the little cafe and he like has to deflect the car. So he's basically saying like that we've already seen like what he's done.
Right.
It's just later on.
And that's
where maybe his marriage isn't going so well.
So Miles exists in the Ultimate Universe, which I forget the number, but like Ultimate Spider-Man, that Peter Parker is dead. And I thought, so they call him Peter A. Parker, the one that dies in the beginning, voiced by Chris Pine.
Yeah, right. Good call.
Which that to me was, and this is the way I was alluding to the English teacher me coming out. That is the perfect version of Spider-Man that like we have, you know, and the blonde hair was a nice touch. That's a nice nod to like Ben Reilly, who's like a clone technically of Peter Parker, who's Scarlet Spider. So I thought that was a nice little nod.
Yeah.
But that's like the ideal Spider-Man and he dies. And now we have like these, all these imperfect spider people who come into play and how do they fit in? Like that was a nice little thing too.
No, that was, it was all pretty good. Now the other one of the favorite scenes, and I think they actually showed this in a, trailer. So this, but still one of the best scenes was when Miles Morales is like finally figuring it out. He has like half of the Spider-Man suit on. He has the mask on, but he also has the Nikes on. And he's like pressed up against the building. And then you hit, I think it's the Vince Staples song, like with it.
Oh yeah.
And you're like, that was just the best. You're like, this guy, like it, he looks so cool. I'm like, he should always wear the Nikes with his suit.
Yeah.
Like he just looks like a badass.
And that shot where he's going down, but they flip it. So it looks like he's going like up.
Awesome. So cool.
It's such a cool shot. And they showed that in the trailer, obviously, to sell it. But what a money shot that was.
Yeah, that was so cool. So Miles Morales, he was cool. He was really good. And what did you say? How do you say the guy's name that did the voice?
Shameik Moore.
Yeah, he was good. I didn't know who he was before this, but he was really good. Now, Black Panther, not to go down a whole race on the podcast, but Black Panther is getting recognized a lot this year for just, you know, its overall impact and everything else. Don't you think this movie has some of that? I mean, I know it's animated, so it's a little bit different, but still, like, don't you think this movie has, there's some parallels?
There is, but it's the curse of being second. You know, it's the curse of, yeah, you know, being the second person to say, to raise your hand and say, like, oh yeah, me too. You know, but like, not me too, but you get what I'm saying.
No,
but
I understand.
We're doing this too. Yeah. Look over here, you know, and it's,
but
the,
I think
it's the end of the
this
year.
One, yeah, I mean, they're both great in their own right, and people should celebrate them. And if there's kids out there that can identify with superheroes more so than they could before, I think that's great. All that's great. But to me, there's almost even something more like Spider-Man. Like, it's almost like if there happened to be a black Batman. You know what I mean? Like, there's just these characters that are like, Spider-Man's on the very short list of most popular characters of all time. You know, like Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. I don't know, Wolverine, like those are probably like some of the top guys. And to be able to take a kid, you know, like a young kid from Brooklyn and be able and make it relatable, like that's pretty sweet.
No, it's really cool. And I mentioned this in a tweet too. I was, I don't know how it came up. It came up like organically. We were talking about like Halloween costumes for my 4-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And she was very adamant last year that she wasn't Batgirl. She was Batman girl.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She was, but like, if you said, sure, oh, you're Batgirl, she's like, no, I'm Batman, but a girl. She was like very adamant that like, that's what she was.
It's like, you could be Batwoman. Like, nope, yeah. Don't
and so I
don't
asked her, I asked her if she wanted, who she wanted to be. And I brought up like Spider-Man and she's like, well, I can't be Spider-Man. And I was like, why? And she's like, cause he's a boy and I'm a girl. And I was like, and then I showed her like pictures of Gwen Stacy, like Spider-Gwen. And yeah, she went bananas.
I was going to say, not only best suit in the entire movie, I think, is Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen. And my daughter lost her mind because she wears ballet shoes, too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And she thought that was the coolest thing. So
I'll tell you, I wanted that's a good story. Spider-Gwen, I thought was all, she was really good. Haley Steinfeld voiced her, and she was a good character. And then when she was dressed up, and she was obviously super talented, too. Like, she could kick ass. But her suit, like, I love the whole thing. That's a good one. So that out of that crew, anything else you want to add on either Spider-Man, Spider-Gwen, Spider-Ham, Spider-Noir, or Spider-Diva?
We mentioned this earlier. I thought I was going to hate Nicolas Cage in the role, but he was fine.
Oh, right.
It was just enough.
It wasn't a ton of him. A couple of jokes. I mean, the Rubik's Cube thing, like, to me, wasn't hilarious at all. But, like, whatever. Throw it out there. Take a chance.
Yeah, couldn't see
color. He looked cool. You know, the suit, again, knowing that you could play as that suit in the video game kind of made it a little bit cooler.
And if you read that trade, it's really good.
Yeah. Some of the family members, you had Miles Morales' mom and dad were both in this. The dad was certainly more of a main character. You also had May Parker. And they've done this in some of the comics. May's like much more of a badass than others. Like, it's sort of like Alfred. Like, depending on which Batman you're reading, he's either like, just like a, you know, a capable butler, or he's like a former like Green Beret or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and that was always a weird Alfred to me. There was like he's the one who actually taught Bruce Wayne how to like kick ass.
Yeah,
because he was like,
I don't love that.
SAS guy, like former SAS.
But this operative. One, yeah, right. I did like this though, like May Parker, like she like knew, like she was like waiting for Miles basically. She's like, yeah, I'm surprised, you know, of course you guys came here.
What
like, you're not the only one.
What was interesting is if you see her sitting in the chair when they go down into that bunker.
Yeah.
It's got like the web. It's got like a Madame Web look to it. So maybe they didn't bring Madame Web into the movie, but she's definitely like fulfilling that role.
Kind of combining it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Mary Jane Watson in this, voiced by Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Lily Tomlin, by the way, that did
Lily Tomlin.
Parker.
She did a great job. Yeah. Just enough Mary Jane. You know, she was an important character, but not seen all the time.
Yeah, I mean you got to put Mary Jane in the movie, but I don't like what they're doing in Homecoming, by the way, where Zendaya is not really Mary Jane Watson, but she is Mary Jane Watson.
She's MJ, like, but she's not Mary Jane Watson.
Just make her Mary Jane Watson. Like, come on. Anyway, and then the list of villains, you had Mahershala Ali, who's actually going to be in True Detective season 3.
Oh, I can't
He's
wait
like the
for
only
that.
Cop. Yeah, it's going to be pretty good. He's been in a bunch of stuff, obviously. He's an Oscar winner, all that. He was Aaron Davis, a.k.a. The Prowler. Liv Schreiber was Wilson Fisk, Kingpin, who they made him very big.
Very big, and his head was in a very strange spot in his body. It was like his head was like in the middle of his chest.
Yeah, I would say he not a lot of range of motion there for him.
Kills probably a guy.
Probably can't see his pee-pee, would be my other guess.
He's got a dicky-do? right?
He's got, you know, that's important.
His stomach stick out more than his dicky do?
Come on. I think you're not wrong. I think so. Vanessa Fisk, voiced by Lake Bell, was in this. Dr. Octopus was Olivia Octavius. Green Goblin was voiced by Jorma, is it Taccone or whatever it is?
Back up.
The dude from...
Olivia Octavius is the name of the character. Catherine Hahn was the person who did the voice.
Yes, Catherine Hahn. Oh, did I? Well, I meant that's what I meant. Yeah. But Jorma is in Lonely Island.
Yes.
And so I didn't recognize the voice at all at first, and then put him in, I looked it up after. Tombstone and Scorpion also round out the group. So a good group of villains. But I like using Kingpin with Spider-Man stuff. I think they should just get Wilson Fisk to do some stuff for Far From Home.
Yeah, or they should bring in D'Onofrio. He's a big enough actor where you could do that.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Bring in D'Onofrio to the MCU. I mean, I guess technically he's already in it, but like actually put him in it would be nice. Anything on any of those villains?
No, it was just enough. Like, you just had enough Scorpion where he showed up in that one scene. You had enough Green Goblin where it showed up. And, you know, you even had a little bit of Lizard, where Peter Parker in Gwen Stacy's universe becomes a lizard.
And I like the idea, too, of just kind of seeing, like, something like, again, Prowler, like, not used enough. And so to throw him in there, because I always think of, we've seen now all these Spider-Man movies. So, like, which villains have we already seen? Which villains have we already seen multiple times? Which we've seen Green Goblin, but they used him very sparingly here.
Yeah.
And then so you really kind of, like, Tombstone, like, yeah, why not? Like, you haven't really seen him.
What he had, like, two lines in the whole thing?
Yeah, like he was barely in it. That's fine. It was like a sidekick. Then there is an end credit scene, as we mentioned before. You get a little Spider-Man 2099 action, awesome. And they go with like the meme and the pointing. It was good. It was smart.
They kind of tipped this hand a little bit. Again, those of us in the know, right?
Yes,
they kind
of
tipped this a little bit where the spider that bites Miles is from Alchemax, which is where Miguel O'Hara works. That's the company he works for to develop this.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I kind of was like, are they gonna show him? Like, are they gonna show? And they didn't, obviously. And then they showed up in the end credit scene, which I thought was very well done.
Yeah, I thought it was
voiced
smart.
By Oscar Isaac.
Oh, right. Another big name. Good. Throw him in there.
So,
yeah,
if you look at the IMDb page, it's actually awesome. They put Chris Pine and Oscar Isaac. They give them credits on IMDb, but they're credited as interesting person. Or something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're both very interesting. Are you ready for my $1 million idea?
What's that?
That Spider-Verse can be how you tie in Sony, Marvel, and Fox.
Yes.
You figure it out. You say, listen, we already got it going right here. We're going to tie all these bastards in. So not only do you tie in the X-Men universe with the MCU, but also you can figure out a way to go forward and like launch the movies after this so you can still do standalone movies and they make sense.
Yeah. Cause you can be like, cause Spider-Verse, there's your answer.
Guys, Spider-Verse, we already saw it.
Yeah. How can
this
you
is
have
the same universe as Spider-Pig?
Three different Spider-Men. Well,
huh? Fine. Pretty easy.
Pretty easy. Actually,
you get 2 hours here. Here's a cartoon. Yep. And I'll explain the whole goddamn thing for you.
Here's my question for you.
Yes.
Is Peter B. Parker going to be the best Halloween costume this coming year?
Definitely going to be the easiest to pull off.
Just a Spider-Man shirt and some sweatpants. Like, I'm ready.
I love him out there with the sweatpants. It's hysterical.
I love the part, like, too, where he needed the bagel. Like, that was the big part of the plan.
That's right. That was hilarious. Like, he had to get the goddamn bagel. Like, just needed it. But he could. Like, that was the thing. Like, you're questioning him, but, like, he still gets it done.
Gets it done.
You know, you're just like, that's what he is now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be an easy one because you can get, like, the spandex. You don't need to work out.
Nope.
You throw the sweatpants on. You eat a bagel.
Two different shoes.
Walk around the bagel. Yeah, forget it. Who cares? Shoes? Fine. I love that. Yeah, so that'll be a good one for sure. Anything else, Ryan, on Into the Spider-Verse?
See it. It's the best standalone Spider-Man movie.
Not to tip our hand. Well, I still think Homecoming might be better.
Now, hang on. Homecoming's not a standalone Spider-Man movie.
Yes, it is.
No, in a vacuum. Like that, that Spider-Man needs that Tony Stark.
I know, but let's be. I mean, I think all the Spider-Man movies. I just take if Spider-Man is the lead character. If it's the Spider-Man movie, I think it's the second best Spider-Man movie.
Sure. Okay. I I'm going. I mean, no, you can think it's first. 1A, 1B.
That's fine. That's fine. Way to take a stance.
Well, it's kind of like apples and oranges, though. You know, it's kind of like.
Oh, they're hard. They're definitely hard to choose against.
Because do you do the MCU Spider-Man, which is like. Like I said, Tom Holland was born to play that role. Like, he's so good.
He's perfect.
As Peter Parker.
Yeah, he's perfect at it.
Wouldn't it have been cool if they have him be in a Spider-Man, an animated one, but like it's his voice?
I wonder if they asked him or if they wanted him involved at all or how that
I don't
worked.
Think yet. Maybe for the next one, because they do have a next. The sequel's already happening.
Oh,
obviously.
Good.
So
good. Yeah, I think it was number one at the box office, but it wasn't anything crazy. I want to say it was like $35 million or something like that.
Which I guess it broke the record for. And I love how they say it's like record breaking. They say it's the it's like the highest grossing animated movie to open in December ever. Like, that's the most specific thing ever.
There's a record for you. If you want it, there's a record for you. Just like, we're the best movie TV podcast at a sports radio station.
Remember when you said that and someone got like really pissed?
Yeah. You're probably the only one.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, way to go. This guy gets it. Yeah. This guy's having some fun. What else about this bad boy? Anything else? Oh, I was going to say, not to tip our hand completely as it relates to the 2018 Dorkies, but this has got to be up there for biggest surprise, like just how good it was.
Yeah, I went in there blind.
Like, we were looking forward to it. I'm like, oh, Spider-Man. But I was like, I wasn't even, like a month ago, I wasn't convinced I was going to see it in the theater.
No.
And then it got some early, really good buzz. That's the people we knew saw it and were like, it was Mac and Goose saw it, right? They saw it early. Yeah. They saw it, and then the Rotten Tomatoes was like 100% for a while. And not that I always base it off of that, but that's pretty impressive for a comic book movie.
You know what I found?
So I'm like, all right, let's give it a go.
I find myself doing now is, instead of just looking at the raw score from Rotten Tomatoes, go to a certain handful of critics that I trust and look at what they say.
Like a Mac, like a Goo.
Yeah, of course. But also, you know, like Peter Travers from Rolling Stone, you know, someone like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Who?
Gene Siskel.
Pick of the pod.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Gotta dig him up, unfortunately, for his take on this, but I'm sure he would have loved it.
Do you think they buried him with his thumb up?
Yes, Ryan, I do. I think that's actually a little tasteless, to be honest. I'm going to cut that from the episode. All right, should we get to the pick of the pod?
Yes, please.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Kick, receive, defend the goal.
I will kick.
Or defer.
I will kick.
I'll receive. How about this? I love this idea, and I wonder if other shows will do this. So I remember I told you the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, how they had their season come out like end of October. And so it was 10 episodes. I enjoyed it. Nothing amazing, but I enjoyed it. Then just this past week, I think last Friday, they released one episode. So 1 hour long episode. They tagged it on to the end of the season, and it was like their Christmas special.
Oh, the Krampus special?
So like, they made it kind of timely. Yeah, like a witch Christmas. And it was pretty good. I liked it. And also more news on Sabrina. They've picked it up for, I think, season 2, 3, and 4.
Wow.
So they like Sabrina, and hopefully, fingers crossed, they cross it over with Riverdale. That's really the ultimate goal. That's what we need to see.
So I haven't watched this, but the girl in that is the girl who played John Hamm's daughter in Mad Men, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
Sally.
She went to Miss Porter School.
That's right.
Which is a strong piss stream away from me, as I sit right here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now she goes to Baxter High, which is in Greendale, which is the town over from Riverdale.
Yeah.
And they mentioned Riverdale at least twice.
Nice.
And just like Riverdale has mentioned Greendale at least a couple of times.
There you go.
So that's that. Ryan, what do you have?
I have two. So I have both Netflix picks, so you can go check them out right now. Lucifer, the TV show Lucifer, the first season of Lucifer is now on Netflix. I started watching that.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, okay.
It's pretty good.
All right.
I would say I watched the first two episodes. It has legs. It has good, strong bones of a show. I don't know if that show's still running. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Could be.
I don't know either, to be honest. I don't know.
And I would say my throwback dork pick of the pod, all three Fridays are on Netflix right now.
Hell yeah, including a Christmas Friday after next.
So please go and check those out if you haven't seen those in a long time. The first one
doesn't
age so well,
movies.
But... I'm going to say
still
it.
Good.
Mike Epps, better sidekick to Ice Cube than Chris Tucker.
You know what? You're not wrong.
Day-Day
he's funnier.
Is better than Smokey.
He is. He's funnier. Yep. He is. Day-Day is unbelievable. Next Friday is an underrated comedy.
It is.
And it is really because of Day-Day.
Because of
Day-Day
Mike Epps.
Day-Day is incredible in that movie.
Yes.
The Party was born to play. All right, Ryan, next week, I don't know when we're going to air this episode. We got to figure out some things. Next week, of course, is Christmas, so it's going to be kind of a hectic week with travel and days off and everything else. But we will, our next episode, whenever that happens to be, will be about Aquaman. You've already seen it too. I've not seen this yet. I am, don't tell me anything. I don't want to know a goddamn thing about it.
I'm not saying a word.
I've actually heard some good things. A couple other people I know have seen it and liked it. And I am, should I say, cautiously optimistic about it.
That's how you should be. That's exactly how you should be. Okay.
What's the runtime on this bad bitch? Like 2 hours?
It's like
210?
A little over two. I think it's 2 hours and 10 minutes or something.
Okay.
Well, it's like 2 hours, and then there's like 5 minutes of credits. Because there's so many visual effects that all the credits run forever. But
oh, my God. Yeah. Well, we're going to see how it stacks up with the other great films in the DCEU, like Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, and Justice League.
I didn't mind Man of Steel. I don't know why it gets such the hate it does.
Didn't care for it.
Yeah.
I don't think I like it. It's a Superman problem, maybe.
I guess it is.
So there you go. There is the episode today, the dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can email us at any time. You can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes. We are on Twitter @dorkpodcast. We are on the YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/dorkpodcast. You can subscribe right there. We pump out videos at random times, so it probably helps to subscribe. And then Ryan is very active on the Twitch.
He's twitching. So that's I beat Mega Man 2 today. If you don't
believe me,
if you don't believe me, come watch me do it on Twitch tonight.
Oh, you're going to do it again?
I'm going to do it again.
I like that.
It felt so good. I'm going to do it again.
Well, people probably won't hear this in time. In order, you're probably going to be doing it while it's being uploaded. However,
I thought we were live.
Are we streaming? We'd be streaming. But you can probably check the, because usually like they archive.
Oh, they archive,
right?
Them. So and there's a button now that I guess that was malfunctioning for a while. But there, I found out that there's a button to share to YouTube, so I could just upload these to our YouTube channel.
Oh, I like that. Good idea. Good idea. So that's super easy. Go to twitch.tv/rvond, and you can follow along or subscribe or whatever the hell it is that you do there. Friend?
Yeah, subscribe. You have to subscribe. You have to.
And if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can link up there, and that helps Ron Von Don.
Sure does.
So. All right, Ryan. Very merry. We forgot to mention this. This Friday, the 21st, there is a live Mac and Goo. They're doing a Festivus episode. They have invited us to go air grievances. I don't think I really have any grievances, but we're going to go anyway, and we're going to see what happens.
I think a lot of people are going to have a real hard time with Mac talking about his eating habits.
I think it's just going to turn into a steak with bones in it versus ham versus wings.
He doesn't
wings.
Eat anything with bones.
Well,
which
I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, but he eats meat,
right?
Yeah, like a kid,
like a 5 year old. Yeah,
yeah. So that's probably what the episode's going to turn
it's
into.
Be
but at least there'll be booze.
But it'll be good. Yeah. It'll be good to get some
there's
good
booze.
Drinks, some good people, good friends, a few laughs.
That's all it, that's is. All it is. And I'll wear an ugly sweater.
Oh, that's
or.
The thing?
Or dork merch. It's one of the two.
One of the two.
Whatever you want to do. All right, Ryan. Another perfect episode.
Perfecto.